in this series that we started called Forgotten Virtues. Forgotten Virtues. It's not that they don't exist anymore. It's that somehow they get lost in just the selfishness of the world we live in. You know, that world that says, this is the car you deserve. This is the house you deserve. This is the hamburger you deserve. This is the medicine you deserve. This is the hairdo you deserve. Everything you deserve. And it gets lost in that gimme, 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 gimme to have these virtues that are central to the Christian faith. We've talked about honor, specifically honoring God above all things. We've talked about integrity, not having two lives, but living the same life in and out, in secret and in public. We've talked about perseverance, not giving up in a world that loves to quit and start over 101 times, and not giving up. And today is our last one we're going to be talking about, and that is gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude, it sort of goes against the old what you deserve, doesn't it? Just gratitude, thankfulness. You know, when I was a kid back in 19, none of your business, when I was a little kid on Saturdays, often I went to my grandmother Nichols' house. My mom and dad, my dad owned a drugstore, and on Saturdays my mom helped him there at the drugstore, and I stayed with grandmother a lot, and so sometimes I'd go over there and I'd ask grandma if she would let me ask one of my friends to come and play with me over at her house. And she would always say, well, who are you planning on asking? And, you know, I might say, well, I thought about asking Roger. Now, my grandmother was the lunch lady at the school. She knew everybody. She knew all the kids. I think I want to invite Roger. She, no, I don't think so. Well, what about Walt? Yes, you can invite Walt. He always says thank you. He always says yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and thank you. My grandmother knew all the kids, and she knew the virtues that they showed, and she knew the ones that were full of gratitude. And it was a big deal to Grandma Nichols. Hey, it's a big deal in the kingdom of God, too. So sort of as a beginning, as a foundational way to start talking about gratitude, I'm going to go on and tell you my first point. Here it goes. Gratitude is the door to God's presence. You know how I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Psalm 100, look at this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever and his faithfulness continues to all generations. We did that this morning. You know how we welcome the Lord here? We begin to praise him and thank him and glorify him and sort of usher in the very presence of God. It's in the scripture. That's the way we do it. We enter it with gratitude. If you're going to have a personal interaction with somebody, you're going to have a conversation or especially a close face-to-face congregation, it's a good idea if both of you are in the same place. It sort of helps. I mean, I guess you could do it one in the house and one outside the house, but you'd be screaming through the windows. You might catch a glimpse of them through there or whatever, but there's something about that personal interaction. You need to be in the same place. You see, I think that's how many times Christians view God, that he's in another place and they're in this place, and the only thing they know how to do is just scream at him something like, help! Help! Well, it's not wrong to say help to God. But you know, isn't it great to be able to enter into the presence of God and be in the same room with God, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and go in his presence? When you're in his presence, you can ask for help all you want to, because God is gracious and wants to do that. But there's just something about entering into his presence with thanksgiving. You know, the Jews have a prayer that they pray every morning. A very devout Jew will pray a prayer called the Mode Ani. And all it does is the first words to come out of your mouth are, Lord, you woke me up this morning and you gave me a new day, and I praise you and thank you. Now, I know that sounds like a tradition, but boy, that's a pretty good idea, isn't it? That's a great idea to begin your day. Maybe beginning our prayers instead of with help, beginning that prayer with, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for just letting me come into your presence and being a part of you. You remember that story in the Bible of Jonah? You know, Jonah and the whale thing? Jonah? Jonah was a prophet that God had given a call, and God said to him, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the largest city in the world at the time. It was the center of an empire, an ungodly, horrible, wicked empire that worshiped false gods. It was like the big metropolitan area, pretty dangerous. And he said, I need you to go there and preach and let them know they're going to be destroyed unless they repent. Well, Jonah got that call from God, and God said, go east. And Jonah got on a boat going west. He got on as quick as he could, and he's in the middle of the water, and there came a storm coming up, and all the people in their boats are going, what's going on? And Jonah goes, well, I'm running from God. It's probably my fault. So they picked him up and threw him out. Throws Jonah out in the water. He's underwater, and before he has time to drown, he is swallowed by a giant fish. Now, I know you say, that's got to be a fairy tale. That can't be true. That's just a story, a legend that the Jews told to try to make a point. No, let me tell you what. There are a lot of people in history, in fact, that are swallowed and can be swallowed by large fish and survived. It happens. Hey, but even if it still sounds weird to you, I mean, think about it. It's God we're talking about here. God can do anything. God, if he wants to, the same God that raised that lady from the dead, that God can look at like Nemo and say, Nemo, I'm going to make you like a million times bigger, and I want you to swallow a dude. And he can do it. Remember, that's God we're talking about here. But anyway, Jonah is in the inside of a fish, in the belly of a fish. Now, that is a pretty tough circumstance to be in. You think it's bad going to Nineveh, how do I get in the belly of a fish? But let me tell you what happened. When he's in the belly of the fish, what's the first thing he did? The Bible tells us, look at this. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He's in the belly of a fish praising God. He knows how to enter God's presence. I like the response. I like what happened. Even in this circumstance, not because of it, but in it. This is what he said. So verse 10 says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry ground. That's pretty good. You think you've got problems? This is a problem. Being swallowed by a fish in the ocean is a problem way beyond any we got. And what did he do in the middle of that circumstance? He decided to enter God's gates with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jonah. You've taught us a lot. There's something else, though, I want you to know about gratitude. Gratitude is a choice. Gratitude is a choice. It's actually a daily choice that we can make. So I read the other day about this lady that was at, she'd gone to Walmart, and she had to run in and get something real quick, and she's driving around the parking lot, and it, rain, it just starts pouring down rain, just a downpour, and she's going around trying to find a parking space, and she's thinking, I need to park up close, and Lord Jesus, please give me a parking space. Lord, open up a parking space for me. And she, just as she's coming around, sure enough, there's taillights right by the door. Taillights. Turn on, the car backs out. And she goes, never mind, Lord, something opened up. isn't that just like us? Sometimes we like to give everything in the world credit before we give God credit for things. That's all right, Lord, never mind. Something else opened up. We like to give a lot of things credit. There's this incredible story, though, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, Luke wrote it, that tells a story that sort of illustrates what we're talking about having a choice. You see, there was Paul and Silas. They, like Jonah, were called to go and preach the gospel in difficult places. They didn't, when God said go east, they went east. They did exactly what he said. They were preaching the gospel in a city. And because they were preaching the gospel, they got arrested. The Bible says they were beaten with rods. And then they were thrown into the slammer. In fact, they were taken to the inner room of the jail. And their legs were put into chains. And they were chained to the stocks. And there they were in the middle of the prison. Now, most of us would have said, God, I did what you said, and look what it did to me. I did exactly what you said, and look. Well, that is not exactly what they did. Look at what the scripture says in Acts 16. But at midnight, the darkest hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God in chains in the prison. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now that's an incredible example about how we cannot control our circumstances. We can't control what happens to us, but we control the attitude of how we handle it or what we do in those circumstances. And sometimes we feel like we can't control that, but we can. God has allowed us to make a choice of whether to be grateful or not, what to do in those kind of circumstances. We can't control our circumstances, but we can control the attitude with which we deal with our circumstances. It's true. Paul and Silas made a choice. They said, all right, we're here. We don't want to be here. We're hurting. Our bodies are hurting. Those chains are hurting big time. Here we are. What are we going to do? Well, why don't we just praise God for a while? And they're in there singing and praising God. There's no guarantee they're getting out. They did not feel a tremor telling them the earthquake was coming. All of a sudden, there's an earthquake. It's an incredible thing that happened because their decision to praise the Lord, God set them free, and it didn't just affect them. The Bible says all the other prisoners were set free too. And on top of all of that, the guard took him home. They didn't escape. They went home and ate dinner and won the family to the Lord. And a church was able to be established in that city. Why? Because of an amazing thing that they did. They praised God in the middle of a prison. Because it's a choice. We can make a choice to do that, to praise God instead of wonder what's going on around us and complain about it. Complaining is so easy to do. And praising God is just as easy if we intend in our heart to do it. You know, my wife has had an aunt that she always told me about. They call her Aunt Bappy. She lived in Florence, South Carolina. And Peggy always said, Aunt Bappy is one of those people, she's the nicest person I've ever met. She never says anything bad about anything. She's always grateful and always full of gratitude. And I thought, yeah, okay. So we hadn't been married very long, and we went there to visit. We were walking down in the streets with Aunt Bappy. She wanted to take us to a little store and buy us a wedding gift. And she's an older lady. She was a retired teacher. And we were walking down a sidewalk in Florence, South Carolina, and we got to this. On the sidewalk, it was like between two buildings, there was an alleyway. And while we got right to where that alley was, and a ugly green-colored Volkswagen was in the alley just right in front of us, almost hit us, right across the sidewalk and into the street. And, you know, we jumped back, and immediately out of my mouth begins coming, "What's wrong with that idiot?" I mean, of course. "What's wrong with him? He ought to be up." And Aunt Bappy goes, "Wasn't that a beautiful color green?" Peggy just looks over at me and says, "I told you." You know why? Because that was her heart. It revealed what my heart was too. But that was her heart. And her heart was genuine. She really chose to notice the color green. Is amazing. I also read about a fella that his grandmother was just a godly woman, and she had a stroke. And the stroke took away her ability to move a lot, to walk. The stroke had paralyzed her, and it also took away her ability to talk. She could not mouth words except one thing she could say. There's one thing she could say: thank you. She said thank you all the time. That's the only thing she could say, thank you. She would lay in her bed praying and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody would come in the room, the nurse would come in the room or whatever, thank you, thank you. That's all she said. All she said, thank you. And this guy wrote and said, that's the way I want to go. I want to go so filled with gratitude, if it's the last thing I say, it's worth saying. You know why? Because it's a virtue. Gratitude is indeed a virtue. Now, why did Aunt Bappy act like that? Why did this lady I spoke to you about, why did she act like that? And here's my third point. Gratitude reveals the heart. It's true. Gratitude reveals the heart. There's another story in the Gospel of Luke, and it's about Jesus and his disciples. They were on their way to Jerusalem. Actually, it was the time that he was going to Jerusalem where he would be crucified. And he and his disciples were on their way from Galilee, and they were near a village that obviously had attached close to it a leper colony. Now, leprosy today is not, I mean, it's not a good thing, but leprosy today is viewed differently than it was in the Bible days. Today, leprosy is called Hansen's disease, and it actually can be cured by certain medicines. But in Jesus' day, it was a death sentence. It caused the extremities of the body, I mean, even your nose or ears or whatever, to begin rotting, and it just, pieces of your flesh would fall off, and eventually the person would get infections that they couldn't stop, and they would die. And so in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God wrote how to deal with someone when they had leprosy. They had to separate from their family and had to separate into leper colonies. And God even wrote into the scripture, in case someone was healed of this or the leprosy went away, they had to go present themselves to the priest, let the priest examine them and quarantine them, and then see if it had gone away, and then the priest could declare them clean, and they could be free again. Lepers were treated terribly because the priest and the Pharisees considered leprosy a result of a certain sin or a certain kind of sin, and it was their punishment. It was sort of the karma idea that they invented. That's not a God invention. That's a human one. And so, So lepers were treated terribly. You know, they not only looked bad and smelled bad, and they were contagious, and so nobody wanted to be around them. They had to be isolated from their family, not hugged, not kissed, never hugged again, never kissed again, couldn't get close to anybody. Children would scream when they saw them and run away from them. It was an awful, slow death sentence. According to the Bible, as Jesus was walking with his disciples, 10 of those people from the leper colony who were out probably begging for money or for bread, they came out, they were together, and they were far off from him, the Bible says. They hollered at Jesus, and they said to him, Jesus, have mercy on us. Now, that might have been, we need food, or it might have been, we need money, or it might have been, we've heard about you, you're a healer, help. But they called to him. According to the scripture, this is what happened. Jesus, the Bible said, he didn't go over to them. He didn't lay his hands on them. He didn't make little mud pies and put on their wounds or anything. He simply hollered back to them. The Bible says he shouted back to them, go to the priest and show yourselves. In other words, act like you're healed and go to the priest. Now, they weren't healed. They weren't. But he said, do that. Now, amazingly, all 10 of them did what he said. I have a feeling Jesus' reputation had gone before him by this time. And so they, the Bible says that they went toward the priest. Now, this is what they were going to do. You would think they would turn and go, Wouldn't it be good if you healed us first? Or, I still got it. Instead, the Bible says that they immediately went to go show themselves to the priests. And the Bible said, as they were obeying the Lord, as they were going, they started noticing they were getting better. I'm sure the limp, they didn't need the crutch anymore. The limp got better. All of a sudden they were noticing the flesh is returning. And they, can't you just see them? They're suddenly realizing they're being healed, and they went running out, you know, running, getting to the priest as fast as they could. And one of them stopped and said, wait a minute. Jesus healed us. I got to go back and say thank you. The rest of them, they gone. And the Bible says he came back to Jesus, came back to him and fell at his feet, the Bible says, weeping and grabbing his legs and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's amazing. It's amazing. He was healed and he wanted to say thank you. Jesus said to him, so where'd the other guys go? Now, I'm sure the disciples over here, they're going, wait a minute. Who is this guy? Now, Luke tells us in the scripture, Luke says this, sort of like Paul Harvey, and this is the rest of the story. The guy that came back was a Samaritan. Now, I got to tell you the rest of the story. Samaritans were hated as much as lepers. Now, he was a Samaritan leper. So Jesus had healed these people, and the only one that returned was the guy that didn't need to be around Jews because Jews hated him, but he came back to Jesus to thank him, to thank him. I'm sure the disciples are over here going, that Samaritan dude came back. Why does he have to be so emotional? What if he still got some of that on him? He's touching Jesus. Can't you imagine what they're thinking? But he didn't care. Jesus had just removed his death sentence from him and made him new. He didn't care if he's a Samaritan or who. And he was amazed that Jesus was Jewish, a Jewish rabbi who should have hated him, had healed him. It was amazing, amazing. And he couldn't stop saying thank you enough. But the point of the story is not about that one guy. It's a great part of the story, but it's not the point. The point with the other guys, because Jesus said to that Samaritan, where are the others? Were not 10 healed? Now, we don't have a response. I'm sure the Samaritan guy didn't know. Why didn't they come back? This is only an idea. But I thought about some ideas that might have gone through those other nine. Like one of them probably said, well, I'm not going to go back and thank him until I find out if it's going to last. Doesn't that sound like us? Or I want to make sure it was really a healing, you know. See, the truth was leprosy could go into remission. That was possible. And sometimes people got diagnosed with leprosy when it was really like eczema or psoriasis or something that was something else that could go away. That's why the priests were allowed to examine them and set them free again. But maybe one of them was just saying, I probably just had eczema. I'm not going to worry about thanking Jesus. Maybe another one said, oh, I'll go back later and thank him. Or another one said, hey, I'm just going to go to the priest and thank the priest. He's the one that's given me the bill of clean health. It doesn't matter. Or maybe a couple of them said, well, I'm the one that had the faith. It was my faith. I don't need to thank him. Or another one probably said, well, I was going to recover anyway. I don't know what it was. Sounds like people today. But here's what I want you to know. It reveals the heart. It revealed the heart of the Samaritan, and it revealed the heart of the others. And it reveals our heart today too. If you had this magical gratitude attitude meter, that you could attach to yourself, and it would give you a reading of where you were. Where I was. Where would it show me? Am I 100 or am I like below zero? Where am I on my attitude, gratitude meter? What would my reading be? It's really a good question to ask ourselves. It really is. And if you don't know what yours would be, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. Or ask anybody. They probably know. Do I have a heart? Is it part of my heart? Is gratitude part of who I am? I want to challenge you today. This sounds really, really simple, but it's a big deal. I want to challenge you today. Two things. One, practice showing gratitude to God in prayer and worship. Like, get it into a habit in your life to say, God, the first thing I'm going to do is say thank you. The first thing I'm going to do is praise you and just say thank you. Before I run to you with all my help me's, before I give you my panic prayers, God, I'm just going to thank you. Thank you that you love me. That's a good thing to do. It develops your relationship with God and makes you understand his presence a lot closer. He's not just a panic God. He's a relationship God. How about this one? How about practicing expressing gratitude to someone every day? You know, Peggy and I were talking about this the other day. Both of our fathers at mealtime, at dinner, would say to mom, thank you for the meal. And they required us to do the same. And we little kids didn't always remember to do that. But that was a big deal. That was a big deal. I wish I'd paid closer attention to that. Our parents tried to teach us to have gratitude. How about doing that to family members? What about maybe when you go to the grocery store? What about when the person checking you out seems like they're freaked out and there's a lot going on and things aren't going very well for you, just to say, hey, thank you for what you're doing. Appreciate you. Appreciate it. I hope you have a good day. What about just letting gratitude and saying thank you to be the common thing? What about that? Just a week ago today, I heard one of the most powerful expressions, voice of gratitude that I've ever heard in my life. And I want to tell you about it. A week and a half ago, someone in our church lost their 35-year-old son. It was Connie Cooper. She lost her son. It was a terrible tragedy. He had just been married a few months. And we went up, several from the church, we went up to the funeral on last Sunday afternoon. And I was surprised. But Connie got up, a church full of people. She got up and she said, as a mother, my heart is shattered. But I'm not here to talk about that today. I want to tell you how grateful I am that I had a son, that I got to know him for 35 years, that he has such a wonderful wife, a wonderful family. I'm so thankful for my memories. I'm so thankful for this church that's been so good to them. I'm thankful for my church and my you. She just stood up and gave gratitude in the middle of the most awful experience she was in the middle of. And I sat there. I knew I was going to be preaching this sermon today, and I said, wow, she just preached my sermon for me. Just incredible. You know why? Because that was in her heart. Because that was in her heart. She also knew her son knew Jesus, and it was not the end. Today, I just want to ask you, if you will, just start thinking in your heart, God, what am I grateful for? What have I got to be grateful for? As God floods your mind with the answers to those things, let yourself let go and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our worship team is coming, and we're going to all stand. Would you all stand with me right now? Before we have a time of prayer, I want you to spend these moments doing what I just asked. We're going to be saying thank you to Jesus. We're going to be saying thank you to him. And then God is going to open up his presence, and his presence is going to do some incredible things in this room. Okay?